Mr. and Mrs. Wong was an Oriental couple, and they went to the hospital to have their first child. Her name was Soom Wong. His name was Ting Wong. And they went to the hospital for she was going to deliver their first child. She had the baby. Nurses took the baby, cleaned it up. Mother and father went back to their room. Nurse brought the baby back in to the mother and father and left them alone. And they opened their little bundle of joy, and to their surprise, the baby appeared to be Caucasian. So they rang the buzzer, and the nurse came back in, and they said, "Look, we are an Oriental couple. This baby is white." And so the nurse checked the ID bracelet of both mother and child and assured them that that was their child. So they named the child Something Wong. They took the child home, and about 2 weeks later, a registered letter came in the mail from the hospital, and sure enough, there had been a mistake. Though they didn't know where their baby was, it was obvious the baby they took home was not theirs. Well, this upset Mrs. Wong. And when Mr. Wong came home from work, I mean, she just unloaded, showed him the letter, and they don't know where the other baby is, and they say they're going to be calling for directions to come and get this baby, and I've already bonded with this baby, and you just can't let this happen. And about that time, the phone rang, and it was the hospital. Mr. Wong, in his gruffest voice, said, "You got the Wong house, the Wong number, and the Wong baby," and he hung up on him. Now, they moved several times, and they kept that baby, and they raised that baby for their very own. Now, the moral of the story is, two Wongs don't make a white. If I didn't have a fever tonight, it would have went just a little better. But I'm under the weather. Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 16. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 16. It's our text verse for the week. What we're doing is we are trying to build a retention pond in our finances so that we can get just a little bit ahead. Amen. So that we can owe no man anything. So that we can be prepared before the need arises. And this scripture truth is taught all throughout the Bible. You know, our Heavenly Father knows what things we have need of. When it's take no thought for the morrow, the whole context of that is don't worry about the evil that's coming tomorrow. But you need to be prepared. Before you die, you must receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You must be prepared for eternity. We're not laying up treasure for ourselves on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. We're doing this so we can give more to missions. Don't forget, for every $2 that we save, we've already promised God we're going to give Him back a dollar, and I hope you keep that commitment. Now, here in Proverbs 11:16 is our text verse, "A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches." All of us that have an income have some measure of showers of blessing that are falling and flowing to us from God. We have a responsibility as a wise steward, as a fiscal agent of that money or of that finances or of those riches to disperse them as God directs us. Now, the devil's going to try to get in there and get some of that money. And to me, if the devil wins one time, I've let my guard down. And I don't know about you, but I do not like giving him a leg up. Amen? I do not want him winning because giving to missions equals souls being saved. And what would a man give in exchange for his own soul? A soul is much more precious. And if we take a dollar here and a dollar there and frivolously spend it, when we could have given that and put one more missionary on the field. You see, to me, the importance is clearly seen. It's a black and white issue here. And I hope you don't think that I've been somewhat proud in my illustrations. It's hard to give other people's, that are still living, other people's financial information as an illustration. I'm very careful not to do that, so I've tried to use my own. But, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 states, "Whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God." God does know my heart. I hope you don't think that I've been somewhat boastful in some of the illustrations. That is not my motive. God does know my motive. But I hope that you've not been proud in trying to receive application either. Because in either case, pride goes before destruction. And so I hope that you'll take these truths and apply them and let God bless you. Let's go to Romans chapter 13. Then I want you to take your worksheet, get in your handout to a worksheet goals that has a numbers from 1 to 18 on it. Romans chapter 13, verses 7 through 9, and then get your worksheet out. Many of you have come to me and asked a lot of questions. I appreciate that. They're just bang, 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 bang. After the service and before the service, thank you. And I hope that I've been able to help you in some areas. Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse number 7, the Bible says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Now that's giving to Caesar, giving to our government. I don't mind paying taxes. I am not an anti-tax person. Amen. I'm not in the unregistered movement. I believe that we need to pay taxes for our national security, for our fire and ambulance and police and roads and all of that. I'm not anti-tax. I'm all for paying it. But if you pay one penny more than you're supposed to, then I think you've given to Caesar that which belongs to God. Don't mind giving Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but not one penny more. If I give Caesar one penny more, I've stolen from God. I've not been a wise steward with what God has given me. Let's look at the next verse. "Owe no man anything, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery." You know, using finances to fulfill lustful desires of the flesh is committing adultery with the riches that God has given us. And I see people doing that all the time. That's advertised on billboards on the interstate. There's not a week that goes by, Brother Angel, that I do not counsel some pastor late in the evening in my motel who has a key member in his church that is run off with somebody that they met on the internet. Not a week that goes by anymore. Using money to fulfill sinful, lustful desires steals from God. It shows we don't love the missions. The missionaries are the souls that are on the field. "Thou shalt not commit adultery." You see how it's attached to money there? Next phrase in verse 9, "Thou shalt not kill." Wasting money that could have saved souls. If I spend money on frivolous things that could have been put into the missions, and if that money that I put into the missions equated to one more soul getting saved, now if I took that and used it on something stupid, something frivolous, and as a result, that soul did not get saved, who's going to be held accountable for this at the judgment seat of Christ? You follow me here? "Thou shalt not commit soul murder. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Again, we're not building a barn. We're not making ourselves rich. That is not the goal. That is not the intent of this week. The intent is to get you out of debt so that you quit paying finance charges and interest charges and late fees, so that each month you have more money that you can give to missions to send the gospel out around the world. God may not give to you what He wants to give through you, but God is looking for some faithful stewards. And if we're faithful in that which is least, then God can begin trusting us with more and more and more and more. Now, you got that worksheet goal out there, and write 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 at the top of it. Because whatsoever thou do, do all for the glory of God. What's our motive? The glory of God. What's our motive? Seeing souls saved. What's our motive? Increasing our missions giving. What's our motive? Putting more missionaries on the field. Now, here I give you a blank worksheet, and what I'd like for you to do, and you can do it sporadically as the Holy Spirit leads you, but go home and work on this thing. List all of your bills and begin with the least bill, the bill that has the least amount of outstanding balance on it, all the way down to the greatest, and include everything. And if you got a membership in a health club or Reader's Digest or whatever it is, some magazine subscription, list every single bill that you have. Try to arrange them in order from the least all the way down to the greatest, which will probably be your house bill or some major medical bill down there at the bottom. What I want you to do is, as we save, remember, for every $2, $1 you're giving to missions, but you got $1 to do something with now. Every time we save $2, we're going to give a dollar to God, and now we've got a dollar to do something with. My suggestion would be that you put this dollar on that smallest bill, number one, and jump on it. What are we trying to do? We're trying to kill it. That's what we're trying to do. These people that ask me all the time, Brother Sharp, did you catch a deer this year? I don't catch a deer. I kill deer. I don't harvest deer. I kill deer. I don't go out in the woods to watch the little chipmunk bury the nut, to smell the breeze blowing through the trees, to watch the sun come up. I go out there to kill things. Amen. May as well just be honest. That's why I'm going out there. When I look at these bills, I look at them as enemies. That bill is an enemy. That bill is prohibiting me from doing all that I can for the glory of God. It is ruling me. It's got a noose around my neck as I go through life, and I'm dragging this thing. And I'm going to kill it to get rid of that burden, to get rid of that weight. The greatest burden that pastors bear is finances. The greatest burden that good men bear is finances. You know, men die 7 years earlier than women. That's the average. That's because of stress. Amen? It really is. That's just one of the reasons. The other is women talk more than men. I look at these bills not as my friend. We are adversarial. I'm at enmity with them. I look at that bill and I'm going to kill you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to figure out a way. And I'm going to beat you. When I go hunting, it's the same thing. I don't hunt. I'm not a meat hunter anymore. I'm a horn hunter. I'm not interested in hunting and seeing Bambi and Bambi's mother. I don't kill Bambi and I don't kill Bambi's mother. I'm after the great big whitetail. If he's not in the woods, I'm not interested in hunting that woods. I'm after him. Now, I get after these bills the same way. And until you see these bills as a noose about your neck, as a weight, as a sin that doth so easily beset you, as a hindrance to you being able to give more and see more people saved and further the work, until you see that, you're not going to get it. And until both husband and wife get on the same page with this thing. Now, if this is causing arguments in your home, you got some spiritual problems. This is just a symptom. There's a root problem there. And it can probably be found out in about 10 minutes of talking with you. But both of you have to get on the same page on this thing. You become one flesh. When you said I do, it's no longer a question, did I get the right person? Now it's the right treatment of the one you got. It's God's will for the rest of your life. So list those and then jump on them. So if you've got a small bill, and let's say it's just a dentist bill or a Sears bill or a JCPenney's bill, and you know it's $37 and you're required to pay $6 a month on it. Well, suck it up somehow and pay that first bill off. All right, now you were paying $6 a month on it. That was what it was required. You had allocated that much. Now we've got that paid off. Let's get on bill number two. Let's take the $6 we were paying on bill number one. Let's add that to bill number two's payment. And let's kill bill number two. Now, once you kill these bills, don't don't have the mentality, well, I got an extra couple of bucks in my pocket, I can afford payments on something else. No, we're gonna eliminate everything on that page. Everything. We're gonna get it down to zero. Where there's nothing on there. Then you got freedom. Once you learn that, you'll have a lot of character too. Amen. Yeah, are you still here tonight? Okay. All right. Let me know every now and then that you're awake, would you? And then once we get Bill 2 out of the way, we're going to take the monthly payment we were allocating for Bill 1 and the monthly payment we were allocating for Bill 2, and we're going to add that to Bill number 3. Now, I don't arrange them in order of interest being paid. If two bills are roughly the same in outstanding balance, obviously pay the one with the higher interest off first. Trust me on this. If you'll start with the lowest outstanding balance, you'll save money in the long run rather than just paying off the highest interest one, unless you got a loan with a loan shark. Then you're going to break your neck or leg. You better pay him off. All right? So do it in order like that, and this becomes fun. And then this thing starts steamrolling. And it gets like dominoes after a while. And you'll be amazed how quickly you can eliminate this page. Very few people have I counseled that I couldn't get completely out of debt in 10 years, including their house. Very few. So if you'll work this thing, how many of you in 10 years from now would like to owe no man anything? No payments. Amen. Wouldn't that be nice? So work on that thing, and it can be. Now go to the page that says ways to save money. Somebody asked me, I think it was Brother Griffin, or somebody did. I don't know if it was you, Brother Griffin, or not. Which is better, a penny saved or a penny earned? Was that you that asked me that? Somebody. And who asked me that? Somebody asked me that in here. Which is better, a penny saved than a penny earned? And I thought about it a minute. He said, well, a penny saved, you know, because you don't have to pay taxes on that, and so on and so forth. I think it was Ben Franklin who did say a penny saved is a penny earned. These are just some ways to save money, just some top off the top of my head, things that I jotted down, had my wife type it up and send it here last week. Number one, refinancing your home. Don't be afraid to refinance your home if interest rates are low. If you're locked into a high rate, don't be afraid to. You know, shop that thing around. If you can save 1%, if you can drop from 7 to 6% or 8 to 7, that saves approximately 11% off of your monthly bill. Now, the only thing you have to watch out for is what is called points up front or closing cost or finance charges up front. But let them give you all of their finance charges, and then you ask the question, is there any other finance charge? I want them all. Give every single charge to me. I want no surprises. Then add all of that up and amortize it over the life of the loan based against this 11% savings, and you still are probably going to be better off to refinance if you can get a 1% reduction. Number two, we've talked about canceling the bodily insurance portion of your automobile insurance. That's on yourself and your family if, and that's a big word there, you are covered by your employee's medical on yourself and on your family. Before you make that change, be sure you have that coverage in writing. Raising the deductible on your homeowners and automobile insurance. Number five, cutting your hair, so on and so forth. You can do that. Number eight, cancel magazine subscriptions and cable TV. How about a sharp man? You don't. I just really like to watch this. How are you doing financially? You behind the eight ball? You know, there's enough free magazines out there. By the way, I'd really encourage you to read more of your Bible. If you're reading more of the newspaper than more of the Bible, you're committing a disservice to God. I don't have time to read magazines. I look at pictures of Big Whitetail, and that's about it. I have so many other things that I have to do. Number nine, eliminating non-church contributions, especially those at work that are taken out of your check. You go to get your driver's license. Would you like to contribute $1 to the presidential election campaign? No. How about $2 to help blind people? No. Everything I give through my local church or directly as alms. If I'm not being a stingy person, that's the strength that comes in retaining riches. Your thermostat, that's 3 degrees, will save you about 10%. Number 11, eliminating your home phone or switching your home phone to the same cellular service. Really, there's a big savings there. And with all insurance, if you get your homeowners and your car and your life with the same company, almost all companies will automatically give you a 10% reduction. You get them all with the same company. But this phone thing here can save you an awful lot. If you don't use your home phone that much and you got a really good cell plan, consider getting rid of your home phone and just using your cell phone. And save some money until you can get some bills paid off, and maybe later on you might want to add that back in. Consolidating all your errands. Number 13 is a good one. Fill your vehicle with gas instead of $5 or $10 at a time. I'm thinking of, again, I'm sorry to use a preacher as an illustration, but I deal with them every week and their burdens. I'm thinking of a fella, he's on the eastern part of the United States. And he's a good guy. I like him. Preach for him all the time. He likes big vans. He drives a big van, which is fine. I don't care what you drive. I think you ought to drive what you can afford. And we went visiting every day during the revival, and every day he would get $3 or $4 worth of gas. I said, "Brother, do you have a hole in the top of your gas tank?" He goes, "What?" I said, "You know, about 3/4 of the way up, did somebody take an ice pick and poke a hole in your gas tank?" He goes, "No, why are you asking?" I said, "Why don't you ever fill it up?" He goes, "Well, I don't need all that gas today." I said, "Do you have the money to fill it up?" He goes, "Yeah." "Fill it up." He goes, "No, I like to have money in my pocket." His brother, I've been here a whole week. Every day we pull off and get $3 worth of gas. Your needle is you know, it's below the empty thing. He goes, "Yeah, but I got about, you know, when it gets right there, I got still about 3 miles left." You've been through this several times, I can see. "Why don't you fill it up?" "Well, but sir, I'd like to have the money in my pocket. Rapture might come." "Well, you think you're going to take it to heaven with you?" Do you know how much this is costing you extra? Every day we drive an extra mile off of the interstate looking for the gas station. We go through 2 or 3 stop signs, starting and stopping to get into the gas station. You turn the key off, you put $3 worth in. You turn the key on. We go through the same 2 or 3 stop signs to get back on the interstate, and it takes us a mile to get up on the interstate and then another mile to get up to the speed that we were when we originally pulled off the interstate. Do you know how much gas that costs to do that? Now, I'm going back 10 years when gas was much cheaper than what it is right now. It took you a gallon of gas to accomplish what you just did. And you do it every single day. You know, he's still doing it. Bad habits sometimes are hard to change. Now, it takes a little effort, takes a little character. But he's always broke. Always broke. He can never take his wife out. He never has the money, quite enough money to do it. "I've got to save my $3 so I can get gas tomorrow." Sir, if you would just fill that thing up, you'd save over 300 gallons of gas a year just by filling it up every time. What's the price of gas right now? $2.50? $2? That's $700 a year. At $2. How many would like to have an extra $700 in your pocket tonight? You know, that preacher would have it if he'd have just started filling his tank up. And when, you know, I don't know about you, but over the last 2 or 3 years, gas has not went down. So when you only put $2 or $3 a time and gas is going up, you're always trying to catch it. But when you fill up when it's 10 cents cheaper. Then it goes up. You still got a full tank of 10 cents cheaper gas. You still with me here? So fill it up. Fill it up. Get as much in there as you possibly can. Now, I've instructed my wife and my daughter, and my daughter, blonde hair, blue eyes, she just don't get some things. Dad, what's this? Could we talk about finances? I only got 2 hours, sis. I tell my wife and daughter, don't you let that needle get below half. Because I don't want them searching for a gas station having to pull off in a bad neighborhood. Get down the half. Fill it up. Fill it up. Put it on my credit card. Fill it up. If you don't have the money, put it on my credit card. I'll pay for it. It's my wife and daughter, my obligation to take care of their safety. Fill it up. And it'll save you a lot of money and a lot of time. 14, we've talked about. 15, 16, clip and use coupons. It's a good thing for ladies to do. Amen. Number 18, change your own auto oil and filter. I change all my oil filters. I do it when I get home, change them. Now, I used to buy a vehicle every single year, a brand new vehicle, because the dealer, I could trade apples for apples and give him $2,500 and drive off with a brand new vehicle every year. Now, $2,500 is a little over $200 a month. For me, that was a good thing because I'm always on the road. It's very hard to drive a vehicle for $200 a month. I don't care how you drive a vehicle. It's pretty hard because I never had inspections. I never had to put tires on. I never had to put brakes on. I had to do absolutely zero maintenance, and I always had a new vehicle. But he died. And now the guy that owns the dealership wants $8,000 a year, so I'm back to a different way of buying vehicles. Now, my vehicle out there has 150,000 miles on it. I bought it when it was a pup. 2002. It's still in excellent shape. It uses no oil. I do all of my own maintenance on it. I rotate all of my tires on that. It still has the original brakes on it. I'm very conscious in how I drive. I average between 19.2 and 19.3 miles per gallon in a diesel truck. And when you're as big as me, I cannot, you know, I know some of you think the disciples drove a Honda because they were in one accord. Some asked me, don't you think Jesus would drive a fuel-efficient compact car? No. He's a construction worker. He's a carpenter. I think he'd drive a four-wheel drive, dually diesel extended cab pickup truck. You're going to have a hard time convincing me how you're going to get 12 disciples in the trunk of a Yugo. Going for the Guinness Book of World Records. So for me, that works pretty good. That's pretty decent mileage, and I buy most of my diesel fuel in the summertime when diesel is cheaper than gas. Diesel is cyclical, and gas is cyclical. Gas is cheaper in the winter, more expensive in the summer. Diesel is cheaper in the summer, more expensive in the winter. They flip-flop every year because diesel fuel and home heating fuel home heating oil are one and the same with a different color dye in them. So I try to take care of what God has given me. I try to change the oil, you know, and God makes those things last, like the Hebrew children's shoes and clothing. Amen. You'll be amazed how, once you start this, how God will start working for you and make things last and endure. These pair of shoes I got, 14 years old. See what belt I got on? I can't see it anymore. I got to feel it. This isn't. I got an elephant hide belt that when I was preaching in South Africa, I always buy belts over there because I can get elephant hide belts. They're so cheap. Over here, they cost you $300. Over there, it's $5. And I figure they held that elephant in for a long time. They do pretty good on me. Amen. But I was preaching one time, Brother Angel. This is going in my new book. I'm feeling a little bit better. But I was preaching one time, man, you know, stop with thy hand and smite with thy foot. Man, I stomped with my foot and my belt broke. Grabbed my pants, you know. Got behind the pulpit. And I went to smite with my hand and ripped my coat out right there. started to take my coat off, but it just happened to be the last night of a 2-week long revival, and I had the shirt on that's got the stain that the coat covers up. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? Couldn't take the coat off. And there was something else that happened that I can't remember what it was. I tripped on my pants and ripped them out the back, all in that one message. But anyway, elephant belts last. Amen. Never have broke one of those. Number 20, make a conscious effort to get better gas mileage by the way you drive. The reason my brakes last so long, I'm always anticipating a stop. You know, knock on wood, I haven't gotten a traffic ticket. And I don't know, I can't remember, 20 years? Why? I never speed. I go too slow sometimes. You know, I'm always thinking about something. I'm not in that big a hurry to get there. When you got the biggest truck on the road, you can do that. Amen. Boy, this Chicago crowd, man. Bumper to bumper. Well, go ahead. Run into my trailer hitch. But making a conscious effort can really improve your mileage. You know, my wife's vehicle, she drives it 17 miles to the gallon. I drive it 23 miles to the gallon. And I get there just as fast as she does. Really do. 22, stop buying fountain sodas and candy bars and chips at convenience stores. Man, it's only $2, Brother Sharp. It's over $700 a year. You know, if you spend $2 a day at convenience stores and you stop doing that and just put that $2 a day into a CD, do you know after 20 years you'd have over $20,000? Maybe like $20,000. If you'd have started 20 years... Well, start when you're young. Amen. Number 23, quit all sinful vices. But Sharp, I'm having a terrible time with smoking. I'm going to tell you how to quit. Look at me. Quit! Did you get that? It's real deep. Quit! You've heard all the sermons. You know all the verses. Quit! What did you say the tax was on a pack of cigarettes? $4 a pack. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if you're smoking, God have mercy on you. When you could be supporting a missionary? Lottery tickets, alcoholic drinks, skin magazines, romance novels. All you ladies, look at me. A romance novel to a woman is exactly what a Playboy magazine is to a man. It's the same emotional rush. The same thing. Stop your subscriptions. Stop buying them on that as you're checking out at the grocery store and they've got it on the rack there. Stop. Movie theaters, home movie rentals, so on. 24, buy a chest freezer. Circle the word chest rather than upright. They're more economical to use. You open an upright, all your cold air rolls out. Open a chest, it just stays there. It does not come out. Cold air sinks. Chest freezer is much more economical than uprights. 27, drinking lemon lime water or tea instead of soda. Brother Angel, we've known each other, 15 years. We've probably ate 100 times together. What do I always order to drink? But not that 3-2 stuff. When I smoke, it's Camel with no filter. Unless it comes with the meal. What do I always order, Brother Angel? Water. Why? It doesn't cost any. Folks, look at me. I'm an evangelist. I preach 300 nights a year. My schedule is completely filled and has been and is in the future. I eat 500 meals a year out. I hate eating out. My blood pressure is 265 over 165. I walk to the emergency room. I sit there. Can I help you? My blood pressure's high. They take it and they go, just a minute. They go get another machine. They take it again. They go get the doctor. He looks at me. Mr. Sharp, are you coherent? Yeah, doofus. That's why I came here. Do you know what the problem is? My blood pressure, it's over 250, over 150. How can you tell? Because I'm about to short circuit and smack you right in the face. I can function fine at about 200 over 140. Gets over that, I have to take heart medication every day. Why is that? Because I eat 500 meals a year on the road. You will never find a church that says, Brother Sharp ordered a soft drink unless it came with the meal. Would they pay for it? Yeah, your preacher treats me good. Most preachers do. We'll go out to eat, steak and shake someplace. What do you want to drink? Water? No, I'll get you a Coke. No, water's fine. Now, not only is it more healthy, that's really not the reason I do it. I do it because I'm trying to save the church $1.29, because that's how much it costs for the soft drink. Now I eat 500 meals a year. Multiply that by $1.29. That's how much money I'm trying to save the bride of Jesus Christ, the local church. You understand, when we're faithful in these little bitty things, God can bless us in some other areas. Number 29, buy a whole chicken and spend the time to cut it up. It don't take no time to cut a chicken up. I never cut one up, Brother Sharp. We'll talk to one of these ladies who has cut one up, and they'll be glad to teach you, which is a New Testament command, by the way. You save $1 a chicken. If you eat chicken once a week, that's 52 chickens a year. That's $52 you just saved every year just by buying a whole chicken and cutting it up. It's not that hard to cut it up. 30 is a good one. Throw all your loose change every day into a jar, and each month pay it on that little bitty bill that you got that you're trying to kill. You can have garage sales and pay off bills and try to get out of debt. Turning your hot water heater down 25 degrees saves you about $1 a week. 35, compare all your bills, you know. Don't just take one person's word for it. Get some other. Compare apples to apples, and then go back through your top three and say, here's what I always say. Is that the best you can do? Can you do any better than that? I'm getting real close to making a decision here. And then they'll sharpen their pencil if they want your business. Do you have a 38? If you go on bus visitation or soul winning, all that mileage is tax deductible. You can deduct that at the end of the year. And if you come to soul winning every single week, that adds up. That's quite a bit of money. That's absolutely tax deductible. Here's a good question to ask when, let's say you're buying something, furniture, no payments till 2011. You're paying for that. Trust me. You're paying for it. Now, if you're going to buy something and you've got the money. Now, whenever I go shopping, I got the money. And people who know me, I get their attention. Because they know he's going to buy. He's got the ability to buy it. And I get the red carpet rolled out many, many times. I don't waste people's time. I don't ask them what's the best deal you can give me if I'm not ready to buy something. But ask this question. How much could I get this if I paid it off right now? What would you charge me? Now, I don't know what your school policy is here, but sometimes even a Christian school, if you'll pay all up front, will save you quite a bit than making the monthly payment. Once you have the ability to pay all up front, then see how much you're saving. If you're saving 10% and you put this in a CD that's only earning 5%, it's best for you to pay that bill off up front. You can save yourself quite a bit. All right, let's go to... I'm not going to go through that ways to make money. That's not my job. But of those 23 things that I listed right there on ways to make money, there are six people now that are real close to becoming millionaires that I got started in these things, some of these things right here. And I can talk to you if you want to do something like that. All right, page number 5. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 27. Still with me? Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 27. The Bible says, "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious." You got to realize that, you know, God may not give to you and allow come to you as much talent as he did to somebody else, and I mean a measure of money or finances there. But you got to realize that whatever God did allow to come into your trust and care is very precious. And we need to look well to the state of our flocks. You know, a good farmer, he glances over his herd. He looks at it every single day. He watches it. Look to your finances. Be aware of them. Be careful about entrusting your finances to somebody else. Be very, very careful about that. If we talk about banking for a little bit, checking account, if you're paying a monthly fee on your checking account, switch banks tomorrow. Don't be afraid to do that. There are banks out there that will give you free checking. And you keep calling until you find, "Well, Brother Sharp, they're only charging me $5. That's $70 a year. Amen. Don't be afraid to move your checking account someplace else tomorrow. Now watch how much they charge you. Make sure you get free checking where they don't charge you for per check that clears, and watch the upfront printing cost on the check. Ask all those questions. How much is it going to cost me? Is this it? I'm not going to pay any more, so you better tell me everything that it's going to cost. Because once you tell me that, I'm not paying you one penny after that more than what you're going to tell me. So you better tell me everything it's going to cost me. And then they'll give you all of the facts and figures, and you can make a better decision right there. CDs. Now, many of you have come to me and said, "Brother Sharp, my loan will not allow me, my home loan, to pay weekly. They want to renegotiate the whole loan and charge all these fees." Okay, here's what you do in that situation. Divide your monthly house payment by 4.33. Whatever that figure is, you take that much out of your weekly check and you go buy initially a 28-day CD with it. And then next week, you take the same amount out of your check and you buy a 21-day CD. And the next week, you take the same amount out of your check and you buy a 14-day CD. And the next week, you take the same out of your check and you buy a 7-day CD. All those CDs will come due on the 28th day. And you can make your next month's payment. You still with me here? And you're going to make about $10 in interest for that month on that money. Now, take that $10 and send it in extra with your house payment. Didn't cost you any more each month, but that $10 over 30 years amounts to better than $6,000 coming off of your balance when you add the interest that it saves and so on and so forth. Now, that takes a little bit of effort to do that, but you can do that. And then once you get these little bills paid and you get to the point where you've got 1 week's worth of house payment ahead in a pool, you can let that CD sit there. You don't have to use that one. Amen? You still with me here? And that's how you build that pool, just a little bit at a time. Good rule of thumb on CDs. You want the highest yield in this order. Highest yield, lowest term, get it down to 1 year or a week if you can. Highest yield, lowest term, minimal penalty for early withdrawal. Some CDs can charge you up to 6 months interest penalty if you cash it in before its due date. Everything is negotiable. When you go to open a CD and they say 6 months penalty for early withdrawal, you'll say, you know what, I'd prefer if that were 1 month. They may or may not negotiate with you. It depends on who you're talking to. If you go to the top, he's got the authority to change that to 1 month. Now, if you can get a 1 or a 2 year CD, somewhere in there is about the highest yield right now. And that thing can, that fluctuates quite often. But if you can, right now you should be able to get between 5.25% and 5.75% on a CD. And if you can get that for 1 or 2 years with only a 1 month penalty for early withdrawal, that way in case you need it, you go get it and you only lose 1 month's interest. Get that particular CD. That's a good one to get. And then if the rates go up 0.25%, 0.25%, cash that CD in, take the 1 month hit and put it into the higher one. Because a 0.25%, 0.25%, you will make up more than 1 month's penalty in a year's time. Did you follow me on that? Did I explain that correctly? All right, y'all with me now. Okay, Brother Sharp. I got $5,000 to put into a CD. They want a $1,000 minimum to open this CD that's going to get 5.5% for 1 or 2 years. Should I go buy that $5,000 CD? A CD for $5,000? No, you should buy 5 CDs for $1,000. If it's only $1,000 minimum, just put the minimum in. I don't care if you got $100,000, get 100 of them. $1,000 each. That puts you in the driver's seat. You can cash some of them in without taking a penalty on the entire amount. You with me there? So the minimum is what you want to put in there. Money markets, you know, I'm not too hip on them, but if you get them, stagger them, or stagger due dates if you possibly can. When we're talking about interest, people who understand interest are earning it, people who do not are paying it. Bottom line. If you are earning 2% in some antiquated savings plan at your bank, and you are paying 12.8% on a credit card over here, this is a no-brainer, folks. Cash part of this savings in and pay off your credit card. You just made yourself 10%. Pay your debt off. I didn't say you cash it all in. Leave enough there for an emergency type situation, but don't be afraid to move that 2% into a CD that's getting 5.5. If you're earning 2 and you can get 5.5 and you don't change it, shame on you. You just committed a sin. You got to look at it that way. You were not a good steward over what God gave you. So it takes a little bit of effort, but look at those things and call all the banks that you can that are in close proximity. Give, and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall your Father give unto you. Proverbs chapter 13 now, verse number 4 states, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. I like God saying the soul shall be made fat. Amen. I'm always looking for ways I can increase my missions giving. Always. I'm always looking for ways I can give more. I really do want to give an awful lot. And a couple of years ago, things were so tight. My wife had the cancer. We were fighting that. I wanted to increase missions. I've never decreased. I wanted to increase. And I decided I was going to fast one meal a week while I was driving on the road. So that one meal a week equated to about $5. Times 4.33, that was about $22 a month, I could increase my missions giving. And I can take that hit. My pool is large enough, amen, to fast that one meal a week. You see, God wants your heart on this matter. He wants your mind, He wants your heart. He don't need your money, but you need to give it so that you can maintain a right relationship with God and receive these wonderful, wonderful blessings that God has for you. Lady came up to me after I gave that testimony. She said, Brother Sharp, I drink a 2 liter of soda every day. I'm addicted to a particular type of soda. I think it was Diet Right, zero carb, zero everything. She says it's a dollar, whatever it was, $1.39, $1.29. She says, I'm convicted about it. I said, boy, that's a lot. $1.39, $1.29 times 365, that's $475 a year. $475 a year. She goes, I know, I'm convicted. I said, so you're going to give it up? She said, no, I'm going to get another job so I can afford to drink my soda. she really was. Entertainment things, vices, so on and so forth. You know, 200 people, as I stated earlier, giving $10 a week over and above their tithe. In 9 years, you have $1 million. This church can do that. 150 people giving $15 a week over and above their tithe and retaining it, that equals $1 million in 9 years. 100 people giving $20 a week over and above their tithe, that equals $1 million in 9 years' time. Once we start retaining and building this pond, it really does start growing. And it grows and it grows and it grows, and it can almost take on a life of its own after a while. It's nice to have the missions a year in advance, Brother Angel. If your missions was $137,000, if you could get your missions pool a year in advance here at Faith Baptist Church, in other words, it's in the account before it's dispersed next year downstream. While that 130, now it's designated. We can't use it for anything else. It's missions money. We're going to retain it for that. We're not going to let a Bleeding Heart story get it. But that $137,000, that amount of money you can get about 6% on, pretty much government insured. So that is approximately $8,000 a year. That is going to earn an additional $8,000 a year. Do you know the entire missions conference could be paid with that? $8,000? Do you know you could send your pastor and his wife on two missions trips every year just off the interest that's earned there? Now, you can't do it all at once, but you can do it a little bit at a time. You got to put forth the effort. And once you start doing that, God sees, I can trust you now. Okay, I'm going to add a little more showers of blessing to you. I'm going to take from someplace and redirect it towards you. You did pretty good with two. I'm going to give you two more. And then when we're pretty faithful with that and we got five, God says, I can still trust him. We'll give you five more. And that layer, like a beaver putting mud on a dam, that starts getting taller and taller, and the pond starts getting larger and larger. Now, we know where it's going. It's not for our personal use. It's for the glory of God. Amen. But God can now trust us. When he opens those windows of heaven, it's so sweet to be able to give somebody who really does scripturally need it. I don't know about you, it puts a big smile on my face. I like being able to give and meet somebody's need and then go home and just go to sleep. Amen. Thanks God for using me. Little old poor kid from off the Merrimack River in Valley Park, Missouri. I don't even know why you saved me. I have no idea why you called me to preach. But now you're letting me be a blessing to somebody else. Thank you. Sleep is awful sweet. Amen. Christian life's a good life. A gracious woman retains honor. Strong men retain riches. Remember what this is for. It's not for you personally. It's not so you can become multimillionaires. It's all for the glory of God. Keep that in perspective. Can God trust you? Well, let's see if he can. Start building that retention pond just a little bit at a time. Start getting rid of this and that, things you do not need that you're spending money on. Every time you save $2, you give God a dollar, and you take that other dollar, and I suggest you get out of debt with it. or then see if the burden's not a little bit lighter next year at this time. And then the year after that, a little bit lighter. And then all of a sudden, hey, man, you're just always full of joy. How can I help you? Father, I pray that you would bless the message. I pray now that you would bless this invitation. Thank you for the missionaries. Thank you for the patience of the people. God, the wheels are turning. Many people are thinking. It's been an unusual conference. Normally, I would just preach, and I have taught. I've given practical things that you have shown me from the Bible. And by the questions, Lord, I know, Holy Spirit, you are dealing with people. And, Lord, there are many people here that have been successful. They have used scriptural principles. Most wealthy people have, whether they realized it or not, used scriptural principles. I pray that you help us all collectively as a church to get behind missions, that we might send more missionaries. The time is short. The window is open. We have men that are called. We have a field they can get to. The only thing keeping them from getting there is their support. Help us, Lord, to do what we can. I pray in Jesus' name, with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Again, by way of uplifted hand, how many would indicate, Brother Sharp, God has spoken to me in another area tonight about finances. I think I can retain a dollar here or a dollar there. Here's my hand, preacher. Would you pray with me about it? God bless you. God bless you. Lots of hands this evening. Thank you. May I put them down? Would there be one? Say, Brother Sharp, I'm not even sure I'm saved. If I died, I am not sure that I would go to heaven, but I do want to go to heaven, Brother Sharp. Here's my hand. Pray for me. I want God to save my soul. I want to go to heaven. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? I'd like to pray for you, friend. I'd like to ask God to help you. I'd like to ask Him to save you. One little boy back there, God bless you, son. You talk to your mom and daddy, okay? All right, you tell them you want to be saved, and you talk to them. Anybody else? Would there be someone tonight? Say, Brother Sharp, I think God may be dealing with me about surrendering to be a missionary. I don't know it quite for sure yet, but I'm sure struggling with it, Brother Sharp. Would you continue to pray with me about that? Here's my hand. I think God may be calling me to be a missionary. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you and you. Man, lots of hands. Lots of hands. If you think for sure He's calling you, you come down during the invitation time and talk with who's in front of me. If you're still struggling with it, you talk with God about it. Let's all stand, please. Again, I'll pray. When I say amen, the instruments will start. This begins the invitation. You come. Father, bless, I pray, this invitation in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you come?